everybody, and welcome to day 13 of the Everyday Novelist 2020 NaNoWriMo Write-Through. Remember that you can join us by submitting your questions, comments, criticisms, and death threats on the forums at jdsawyer.net/forums, or by going to everydaynovelist.com and clicking on the forums link. I am your host, J. Daniel Sawyer, and with me today is your co-host,
Kitty Nakian,
and our truncated panel of fantastic other writers,
Alexis
and
Gail Carriger.
Welcome, everybody. Tori is not here today. She is sick, so hopefully she will be rejoining us tomorrow. Oh, how's everybody doing today?
All right, a little slower. How about you, Alexis?
Trying not to be an energy vampire too much. Better now that I'm here, I think.
Well, that's good, yeah. You're usually an addition rather than a drain here, so it's always good to have you.
Cool.
Kitty, how about you? How are you today?
Overall, quite well. I had a very busy day at work, and my brain sort of crashed afterwards, so I did not get a chance to write.
Oh, no!
But, you know, I'll write tomorrow. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I had one of those partially annoying days where I had a thing to do. I was milling up a bunch of logs and the sawmill broke. And
oh, no.
Parts, of course, have to be ordered. So I'll be racing the snow to get the logs milled up before everything gets buried.
That sounds frustrating.
But that did free me up for more writing time than I anticipated, which turned out to be a good thing because I really needed it. Oh, let's do word counts. What was your word count today, Alexis?
Zero.
Oh, no. How about you, Kitty?
Zero.
Hey, we've got a trend going. Tori also had zero.
That's
three for five. Gail, please tell me you're going to break this trend.
I am, but not by much. 65143.
5143. 506. And I've got 26,565 for a today total of 1629. So a bad day all around.
Woo-hoo!
But I have beaten you again today.
Wait, 1625 is bad
For Dan. Dan does not consider that good. Dan has to break two for him to be even slightly pleased with himself.
2,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's just his personality and his speed.
Also, he's been doing this for a few years.
How are the stories going? I guess they're in the same place for you and for Kitty and Alexis, but how's your story going, Gail?
Well, I had that bumper day yesterday, so I was mostly doing the read over of that, and I just didn't lay new words. I have the exam section to get through, and then I have to get my love interest character extremely sick. So I know exactly what I'm working on. I just didn't feel very inspired today. So I just did the reread and I think I'll be fine. I'm all set up for tomorrow. So I don't think I'm going to bother to do much more tonight, but, I feel like tomorrow I might see if you want to do a sprint tomorrow.
I could be down for that.
Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. Well, I, had another one of those integrating days. I had two scenes that turned out to be part of the same scene. I didn't realize that was going to be the case. And they were completely out of order, so I wasn't just integrating existing words, but I was swapping paragraphs around to fix the logic flow so everything flowed. Great developments in the plot, and I made about 8 pages of progress, but the net gain was only 1629, so that was kind of frustrating.
Yeah. I put a really nifty little callback in, which I'm really pleased with, to the very beginning of the book. So that was kind of a fortuitous little... I like those little fortuitous moments where you're like, oh, nice. I know exactly where this should go.
I love
that. 60,000 words earlier.
Oh, and then you got to go find it.
Exactly. Yep. But I got it, and we're good. So so that was fun.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had the kleptomaniac struck again today.
Excellent.
And
has there been another murder?
No, there hasn't been another murder, but I'm ramping up to it. Someone just walked in. One of the characters who is looking for his stolen object just walked in on the captain and the first officer going at it.
Oh!
Against all regulations.
Oh, shocker.
And this is a captain who is very by the book, so this is going to cause quite the scandal.
Oh, goodness.
Like you can have an 18-month space voyage. Have
exactly. That's kind of my point, too. But nonetheless, the producers set it up so that that sort of thing was not allowed at all.
Of course.
They just did this so they could find reasons to dock people's pay.
Of course.
Duh.
Profit. It's all about profit.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, we got to know another one of the characters a lot better than we knew before. Actually, two more of the characters a lot better than we knew before. And
they had
their first genuine ideological fight, which, of course, I am all over.
You love those so much.
I love those.
Yes. Yes. Well, do we have any questions from the forum today? Or
we
is this going to be a short one?
We do, actually.
Oh,
there's
that's
a
exciting.
New. I believe there was a new one on the forum. I need to actually start that browser up so that I can get to it. Because I just got up here and was not prepared. Okay, here we go. We may be terribly inadequate to answer this question, but here goes. Teresa asks, has anyone ever written by dictating? And if you do, do you have any tips? I'd like to be able to use some of the time I'm doing chores or walking the dogs to write. I've been working at it for 10 to 15 minutes a day, hoping to get over the self-conscious feeling of speaking aloud. That part is improving. However, the whole process is just painful. Not only am I a pantser, so I usually only have an idea that I want the story to go in a particular direction, but I'm realizing that when I type, I often get half a sentence down and then go back to add a clause at the beginning. I've written 8+ books this way, so I don't think that part is going to change anytime soon. Dictation seems to take 10 times the mental work of typing the story because I have to form a coherent sentence before I start talking. Is this a hopeless challenge?
So I have dictated, and I do dictate on occasion, but I don't like it. But not for any of those reasons, interestingly enough. What works best for me when dictating is I have notes that I'm dictating from. So if you're going to dictate, my recommendation on an experiment, at least, you can see if you can try this and it may not work for you, is to take like 5 minutes before you're going to do your task and just maybe jot down a few things to try and get your brain in order, like on a post-it note or something, or even just have a little like contemplative think and then start dictating. So you at least have some kind of structure for the dictation, and maybe that will help the jumping back process. But
if you're dictating into a headpiece on your phone, you can have the notes on your phone to refer to as you're walking as well.
Yes.
I have some input.
Let me just add one other thing, which is you can also just have a code word, which means I'm about to start dictating something that needs to go into the front section for yourself. Like a code word that's like a word, like if you're doing historical, it's a word that's non-historical, like phone or something. And so if you say the word phone, that means you dictate the word phone, and then after that you dictate a fix. I actually do that quite frequently.
Yeah, I actually do that quite frequently, even when we're doing these episodes. Not these, but the normal Everyday Novelist episodes. I will have a thought that's out of order, and I'll say, stick this back in before I talked about blah, and then keep going, because they're edited. So
yeah, and you can dictate that. You can just be like, you know, Gail, note to self, like using your own name will also, like if it's an ordinary name that your dictation software understands, you can just refer to yourself by name and be like, Gail, this goes 5 sentences earlier. It leaves a lot, like dictating like that leaves a lot of back end work for you sorting through it, but dictating period leaves a lot of back end work for you because unless you have really sophisticated dictation software,
there's going to be a ton of proofreading
and stuff. So mostly you're doing it to save your hands. I always have the problem that the dictation software just gets like half the things I dictate wrong, and I have to like give my characters ordinary names that I'm going to then have to find and replace and change later because the dictation software doesn't get any of my names, you know, stuff like that. So dictation is a lot of work, but it does, you know, save your wrists and it does allow you to do other tasks while you dictate. And if you're a pantser anyway, part of your writing process is sort of a mental exploration of it. So dictation might be something that you can learn to love.
True. You were going to say, Alexis?
I haven't dictated, but I think it depends on why you're trying to do it that way. If it's because you're too slow when you're typing and you're trying to get a better word count in, it seems like a really good idea, and it's the type of thing you'll just have to learn to embrace the lack of coherence in the first draft.
I agree, and I have to say, I encourage you, dear listener, to try dictation, because I think if you can develop that muscle, even if it's not your permanent writing muscle, if it's a muscle that you can fall back on, it's really, really useful in the long term.
Oh, I have dictated, just not for fiction.
Yeah, I dictate nonfiction pretty regularly, but again, I'm going from notes, so it's a lot easier.
Oh, I'm not going for notes. It's a crazy ride.
Some of the things that I've picked up over the years, and I don't dictate fiction yet. It's one of those things I want to teach myself to do because, you know, if I have a particularly heavy workload summer, say, for example, next summer while I'm building a house, I may not have as much keyboard time as I want, so I still want to bank the words for transcription and revision. But for nonfiction, having rough notes really, really helps because if I know the points I want to hit, I can just talk and something that's more or less coherent comes out and the editing at the far end is fairly minimal.
That's another thought is as a pantser, perhaps you're better off attempting to dictate maybe halfway through Nano rather than give it until you're a little more clear on your characters and your project. So maybe it'd be easier to dictate towards the end.
Like if you write the first half of the book the regular way and then dictate.
Precisely, because most pantsers I know have a better idea about where they're going, etc., like halfway to two-thirds of the way through the book, you know, and they have all of their characters are better in their head, so they can do kind of dialogue easier and stuff. So maybe, you know, dictation is something you need to wait on a little bit. I don't know. I'm not a pantser, so.
I have talked extensively to two dedicated dictators. One of them was Kevin J. Anderson, and I actually interviewed him on this topic on this podcast about 2 years ago. We'll try to find that and stick it in the show notes. But what he told me on there and what he had told me previously privately, which is why I brought him on the show, was that it took him about 2 years to really get it down. And he started doing it because he was having too many wrist problems and he had gained too much weight from sitting in the chair, and so he needed to start hiking and typing less, both for his health. And so what he started doing was he started with working out plots, and then he would start with talking through scenes. And over the course of a couple of years of doing this, he got to the point where he could dictate not quite clean copy, but dictate well enough through that he basically has to revoice the dialogue and tweak the pacing of the words themselves after their input.
If you're somebody like you and I, Dan, who already occasionally work out, we've talked about this already on this show, we work out plot points and difficulties by pacing in front of our partners and verbally. Like, it's clear we have the acumen to kind of go in this direction. We just have, it's just a really atrophied muscle in both of our cases. Right.
Or underdeveloped,
yeah.
Yeah. The other one that I've talked to extensively who does this is Tim Niederreiter, who writes MilSF and other stuff along those lines. He writes media properties and does a lot of ghostwriting. And he's a listener to this show. He's one of the regular questioners, in fact. And he's a 10,000-word-a-day kind of dictator. But he told me that it took him about 2 years to sort of get it down. And he followed – it wasn't exactly the same curve Kevin followed, but it was a similar kind of building the ability to dictate one sort of thing and then building up to another sort of thing until he could do the whole thing. He tells me that his second drafts are hell, and it takes him about twice as long to to edit as it would if he were just writing first draft, but that the volume of words he can now produce allows him to have a much higher production rate overall. But it took a while for him to get there.
I feel that is something that any high production author I know is probably a dictator. And I haven't asked, but generally speaking, you know, you get writers in the romance community in particular who can do things like produce one book a month. And I'm like, you must be dictating. God, yeah. There's no other possible explanation. And when you get up to that volume, you obviously get better and better at it and you get more and more practice at it. I feel like there might be it might be the project that you're struggling with as a dictator. Like, I feel like there may be some books, fiction books, that lend themselves to dictation better than others. And there might be some writers' styles who lend themselves to being dictated better than others as well.
Or it might be an emotional headspace thing. Like, I could imagine having an easier time dictating some emotions than others. Because some people tend to, like, seize up when they're angry or when they're feeling very warm and vulnerable. And so if you're writing scenes that hit one of those sets of emotions where you have a bit of a social block around it for fear of disapproval or whatnot, those scenes may be more difficult for you to dictate, at least initially, than stuff that you have less of a vulnerability around.
I find it easier to dictate descriptive scenes and like internal emotional dialogues that my characters are going through when they're trying to figure out something, for example, than I do to dictate either action or dialogue. And since I write a lot of action or dialogue, that's why I don't dictate as much as maybe I could. But like I said, it's something I would definitely like to learn more of. So
sounds like it might be a good project for next year. Not that I need more projects for next year, but you know. You don't jump on sooner or later, it's never going to get done. So who knows?
Who knows? It's one of those things where you're kind of like a new piece of technology or anything else. You're like, do I sacrifice productivity for a certain amount of time in order to develop that trick? A barrier for entry for me is that I am a Mac user, and Dragon, naturally speaking, is sort of the acknowledged king in this particular arena. And it's really, there isn't really an easy, simple, low-tech way to integrate it into a Mac. So,
and if you are intending that security concern, if you're intending to use anything that's on your phone to transcribe, most of that hooks into Google Translate or Google voice recognition software online, so it actually gets sent from your phone to a remote server where it's transcribed and archived, and the terms of use do allow them to use the words that you're using for, quote, commercial purposes. Now, so far, they haven't been publishing anyone's book, but the way the licenses are worded, you know, if they ever decided to get into that business, it could be a problem.
The other thing to say about dictation, and one of the reasons I think it is so difficult for many people to make the transition, is that and this is something that you can activate on your behalf when you're revising, but is audio and verbal creativity is different from internalized creativity in terms of like when you, in other words, if you think as you type, and that's the muscle that you've trained up as a writer, you literally are using kind of different neural pathways and different parts of your brain when you're verbalizing creatively, when you're talking. And that's
there's a couple of hacks. Yeah, there's a couple of hacks to rewiring that work well, that work for dyslexia that might work for this, like speaking subvocally while you type.
Yes, that I was hooks, gonna say that. Yeah,
that hooks you into the audio neural pathways. Another one is memorizing for rote performance, like monologue performance, passages of Shakespeare, epic poems, scenes from, you know, monologues from plays that you like or films, anything that will force you to memorize and then speak back. It helps you develop the ability to flow language and find the rhythm. And when you're doing dialogue and even emotive description, the rhythm and texture of the words is so important to how it works out on the page, that doing those kinds of exercises really does put you in touch with the auditory portion of the language and its connection to the emotive portion.
I encourage most writers to do an audio pass of their books at some point anyway. I think it's a really good thing to think about as a writer, especially in this day and age of audiobooks, to what your words sound like out loud. You can start practicing dictation if you will write the like I do, if you are rereading what you wrote the day before from your nano project, if during that reread pass you do it out loud. So into an empty room or what have you, like that might also help you start sort of kind of training up a little bit to try dictating one of these sessions.
It'll also do wonderful things for your authorial voice and for any future audiobook productions you do. And if you ever want to hear someone whose writing looks good on a page but is terrible on the ear, listen to a Robert B. Parker audiobook. They're impossible to listen to. And on the page, it's really terse and punchy and great, but on the ear, they're terrible.
Is it that particular actor, or is it the words?
Words. It's particularly bad in his dialogue section because he only ever uses said as a dialogue tag, and he uses it every goddamn line. And so in the audiobook, it's, "Hello," Bob said. "Nice to meet you," George said. And it's like every sentence. And he writes dialogue-heavy books, so it all ends in said.
Because the audio person isn't allowed to just skim over it like you would.
Not in a single read audio book. If it were a semi-dramatized, they would.
On the other hand, then you have people like Gail who do the read-through but still wind up with the kinds of tongue twisters that have led to some of the most creative profanity streaks I have ever
I love
uttered.
Alliteration, and
I do the same thing.
It's my mission of mine to make my audiobook narrator swear at me.
Loved that crud rat blooper reel.
There's a crud rat blooper reel there for everybody out there, which is basically everyone, all of my various different voice talent cursing me for it makes me so happy.
We'll link that in the show notes, too. It's been a few years since it was a Kickstarter reward, so it's probably safe to release it into the general public.
Yeah, because I do first-letter alliteration, but I'll also do, like, middle-word alliteration, or even end-letter, or even multiples of that, and which essentially turns stuff into tongue twisters, which pretty on the page. Yep. Like, it has a real good visual. Again, like we talked about this, I'm a real visual writer. I like the way things look in the white space, words and stuff. But it's real tough on a voice narrative.
Well,
especially
when you switch from consonants to assonance in the same 85-word sentence.
I'm making gesticulations. It's too much Dickens, I suspect.
They sounded great once I was able to get them all out at once. But, oh my God, some of those took 15-20 takes.
Yeah, you can't go fast. Like, you have to. I blame my mother for this because she, like we've talked about, she read to me when I was a kid, and she reads relatively slowly and in a very proper British accent, which like puts different emphasis on different words and consonants and things. And so it trained me to kind of think like that. If you read something like The Secret Garden or whatever, you'll get my source right away.
It is possible to speak them quickly. You just have to stop and then memorize for about 10 minutes and then recite. You can't read. You have to recite. And that's the trick. But, yeah.
I'm evil.
And we love you for it.
Thank you. Alexis, did you have a question we kept...
You sounded like you did. We kept talking right over you.
I did, but I Googled it because of that.
Oh.
Well, what was the question?
Add to the conversation.
What is assonance? Mm. And I found it. It's when you rhyme with the vowels instead of the consonants.
I like to shake up... sometimes when I'm feeling very clever, I like to shake up, beat. So, like, I'll go kind of iambically for a little while. Not, like, completely, but just for, like, a fight sequence or something so that the heartbeat kind of gets moving. And then I'll suddenly pull back to, like, a sort of a different kind of a beat or a different kind of a pacing. And I will do that by throwing in different lengths of words that kind of mismatch with each other, and that will make it hard on an audio pass as well.
The formal terms for doing that is the heartbeat type of rhythm, especially the fast-paced, is stochaic meter. And the normal, natural-sounding speech pattern is iambic meter, and then the mix-up that you're talking about is called a stumbling meter.
Yeah, it's fun. But makes it rough. It makes it rough because I do have a pretty strong cadence already in the way I write. Yep. And so, like, your reader, your narrator will get really used to that. And then if you suddenly mess it up for them, they'll be like,
oh, yes. Oh, yes. Boy, does it ever.
Ah, fun. But all of these things are reasons to try dictation and also reasons to do audio passes when you're doing revisions.
Indeed.
Because, you know, that they're, it's fun ways to play with language, but also by playing with language and you're manipulating your poor narrators, but you're also manipulating the reader's experience of the sentence structures and you know, their comfort with your writing.
I'd like to add something to the dictation conversation. The questioner said that they felt uncomfortable talking aloud. Practicing public speaking might be helpful because, like, personally, I'd probably have a lot harder time with this if I didn't try things similar a few times before it. Talking to a computer can be kind of weird, and if you learn to do it alone, it can be very helpful, like, with no one on the other end of the conversation.
It's true.
I agree.
And if you have access to Toastmasters in your local area, that's also a great way to learn public speaking, because there are people there. The whole point of the club is to teach public speaking, and there's mentorship that goes on. I've known a lot of people who have a worse stammer than I do who have turned themselves into really good public speakers by going through 6 months a year in Toastmasters.
You have a stammer?
Oh, yeah. Can't you? Don't you notice all the stuttering I do?
You mean... No, but, like, I'm pretty sure most people only refer to something like that as a stammer if it's more than normal people.
No, it's just a matter of degree. Some people... If you listen to people on the radio who do a lot of live radio, you'll notice that they just don't do that.
Well, yes, that's abnormal.
They either don't have any stammering, or they've trained themselves past it. And most people have some degree of stammering, and for as much public speaking as I have done, you'd think I'd be better at it, but I've always struggled with it since I was a little kid.
Radio personalities and hosts also lose their filler words, which I really envy them. I think that's such a skill.
Oh, that's hard to do.
It can be done, but it's really hard.
But it's not like riding a bicycle. If you lose... Having lost the filler words, you have to train back up to it. You don't just slip back into it.
The moral of the story being, dictating a book might actually help you with public speaking in the future.
That's true. It's very true. It'll go both ways, whichever one you choose to concentrate on. All right. Well, anyone got anything else? We seem to have killed that, taken it out back, buried it, and then covered it up so it won't be detected by the body-sniffing dogs.
Nope, but I'm looking forward to heading into the halfway mark, so that's kind of exciting. We're getting there, everybody.
Yes, yeah, we are soon now.
It's good. It's good. It's exciting.
Let's see. I'm still on pace to bust 50,000, but I'm afraid I'm not going to finish the book, which was my real goal.
I'll be fine.
You'll finish your book. You're not quite on pace to bust 50,000, but if you kick my ass a few more days, you might be.
Yeah, we'll see. For anybody who cares, my actual goal for this month was something more like 30. So. I'm fine.
Close to beating that.
I'm a true nano rebel.
Yeah, you're already at 18,000 plus.
Yeah, so, I just want to finish the book.
You'll beat 30, no problem.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, without anything more to add, shall we?
Indeed. Let's
say goodbye,
close it
and
out.
See you tomorrow.
Yep. Alrighty. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will all see you tomorrow.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Good night.